Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Pray with me. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God, and thank you, Lord, tonight for helping us to see truth that'll transform our lives as the people of God. I pray, Lord Jesus, tonight that you would just rain down on us tonight, Lord, in mighty power. Help us, Lord, to see what we need to see in the Scripture. Help us, Lord, tonight, and work in our hearts and work in our lives. And Lord, I'll give you glory for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to look tonight at three things in the text quickly tonight. I don't think it'll take long at all. Y'all have really been patient today. But I want to stay right in the text and give you three things. Jesus said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I want everybody to look up this way tonight, and I want to challenge our hearts together. I mean that. If I were to ask you right now, let me just give you the first point in the message. I believe the faith that God is looking for, according to the text right here, is praying faith. What do you mean? The Bible said the prayer of faith will save the sick. It said when you ask of God, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For a double-minded man is not going to receive anything of the Lord. Pray in faith. You say, well, preacher, I pray. I do too. I'm telling you how God's dealing in my heart. What if I ask you tonight, what if I ask you to take out a sheet of paper? This is a half a sheet that this flyer's printed on. What if I ask you to write down everything that you're believing God for in prayer right now? Would it take that side of the sheet? Would it take half of that side of the sheet? Would it take a fourth of that side of the sheet? Could it be written on an eighth of that side of the sheet? This is serious, isn't it? Jesus, that's the kind of faith he's looking for. Listen, Brother Don McCann preached in our church. I know he was here when I was away in the funeral. But Brother Don, I'm almost certain it was Brother Don. Some of his memory is better than mine. Said something like, I like to have a list that I'm praying over. And he said, I like to check it off when I see God answer my prayer. How many believe that's good? You know what the devil wants us to do? He wants us to pray generally. God bless the missionaries. Why not read a mission letter and find out what one of the missionaries needs? Help me. God bless all the churches. Why not get a church on your heart that maybe doesn't have a pastor or a church like I found out a little while back is struggling, going through one of them times like Bible Way's been through in the past. How many believes that pleases God? We get out and believe God do a work in that church. What about that man that's out of the will of God and out of fellowship with God that used to stand, Brother Brian, like you do and teach a Sunday school class? But now you can't even find him in the house of God. I believe Jesus is saying to us tonight, is this the kind of faith? Will the Son of Man find praying faith when he comes? Somebody that's really praying specifically. Somebody that's praying not only specifically, but praying in faith, believing God. Now let me say something to you tonight, and I'm not trying to be critical at all. I believe God is much more apt to answer my prayer concerning my grandchildren if I'm just as concerned about your grandchildren. In other words, if my grandchildren are on the list, your grandchildren ought to be on the list. If my children are on the list, your children ought to be on the list. If our church is on the list, somebody else's church ought to be on the list. And we ought to be believing God. The Bible said men ought always to pray and not to faint. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to do it. But we're going to get to doing some more praying around Bible Way Baptist Church. I can tell you that right now. We had for a year, Brother Ralph, the prayer meetings on Saturday night. Sometimes there'd be a pretty decent crowd, 8 or 10. Sometimes there'd be 2. Sometimes there'd be 1. And it doesn't matter about the crowd. What matters is about the Christ. I found this out, that revival that broke out in Burlington, the church where the revival started, then it had to go out of the church. It got too big. It had to go out into the tent. That church had been praying every Monday night, listen to me, for 15 years for God to send a revival. I believe tonight that God would say to you and I, with God being my helper, when he comes after me, I want him to see some praying faith in my life. I want him to see me praying about something and believing God to do what we ask him to do. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5 real quickly. I didn't plan on this, but it's in my heart. Look at 1 John chapter number 5. I stuck my thumb in my Bible. It went right there. The Bible said in verse number 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Wait a minute now. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Everybody listen to me carefully. When we're not praying like we should, what does that say? I'll tell you what it says. We don't have the confidence that we should in our Savior. Help me. Let me ask you this tonight. When we don't believe God in prayer and we don't pray like we should, what is that? Could anybody wrap that up in a 3-letter word? To him that knoweth to do good, how many believes praying in faith is good? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is? Say it again. I tell you where we're at. Drunkenness, oh yeah, that's sin, preacher. Adultery, yes sir, that's sin, preacher. And it is. Stealing, my goodness, a thief, or to be horsewhooped, that's sin, preacher. But I'm going to tell you something, none of those sins is starving us of revival in our churches and revival in our land. I believe the sin that's starving us, beloved, is the sin of failing to talk to a God that wants to answer prayer on our behalf. Now listen to me carefully. We're all guilty. I believe every one of us is guilty. If my phone was to start vibrating in my pocket tonight, and I looked down there and my baby girl had been in a wreck with my baby granddaughter and my other baby a granddaughter in her belly, there'd be an urgency. Somebody help me tonight. There would be an urgency automatically that would, listen to me. I believe when we're going to see God move in a mighty way is when we get urgent about the spiritual matters like we do in the physical matters when they come along. I don't say this lightly, but Brother Brian, you've been through something that I hope I never have to watch anybody else go through it. But I'm telling you, there was urgency, brother, to pray while you were going through that. And yet men and women, boys and girls, are dead in trespasses and sin. And listen to me, I thank God for our church. I do. I thank God for our church. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There could be some more life in our church than there is. Somebody help me tonight. We could be more dedicated than we are. I'm praying over some families right now. If God don't move in their hearts, they'll be gone. Mark it down. When it gets easier to stay away from the house of God than it does to come to the house of God, it won't be long. They'll be gone. And the fact of the matter is there's people that know them that aren't even concerned, aren't even praying. I'm just saying Jesus is looking for a faith when he comes, Brother Preston. He's looking for some praying faith. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The second thing that I see in the text, not only is it praying faith, but it's a persistent faith. The Bible said, saying, there was a judge in a city that feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Watch this. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. I'm asking a question tonight. Is there anybody in this room like me that gives up too easy in prayer? I'm telling you many times in my life, listen, sometimes God lets me give up and then God moves just so he'll know it's God and it ain't me. Just to keep me where I ought to be. But I'm telling you, here's a woman that wouldn't give up. Jesus in this parable says she keeps coming, she keeps coming, she keeps coming. This judge doesn't regard her, doesn't regard man, doesn't regard God, but just she just keeps on keeping on. Continually. Persistent. I'm reading in that little book about the Burlington Revival. And there was a man, a very, very mean man, a very hardened man. That man's mother had prayed for him for years and years and years and years. She had been in heaven, Brother Ralph, for a year. And the revival started on Mother's Day. And he came on Mother's Day just to honor his deceased mother. I may not get these facts exactly right. I don't believe he got saved on Mother's Day, but I believe he got under conviction on Mother's Day. And a few days later in that revival meeting. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that there was a mother in heaven that's glad she didn't give up, that she kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. Talking to the God of heaven that could move in her son's behalf. I believe with all of my heart that the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for when he comes is praying faith. It's persistent faith. I can't hardly say the word persistent without thinking about this lady in the church. She was a little old lady and she never would say anything negative about anything or anybody. The pastor got the deacons together. He said, I'm going to fix this. And that evening, he said, y'all just be gathered around when she leaves. I'll show you I'm going to fix it. And he said, sis, I want to know something.
said, tell me, what do you think of the devil? And she looked at him and said, Pastor, he's persistent. Let me tell you what I think. I think he's more persistent than we are. Somebody help me tonight. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us. The kind of faith that God is looking for is a praying faith, a bended knee, a broken heart. I told Brother Gerald this morning, Brother Gerald told me, he said, I begged Brother Gerald, I said, his daddy's 80-something years old. I said, do everything you can to get him up there. I said, does he like singing? He said, he loves singing. I said, get him up there. Please do it. He said, I'll do everything in my power. I'm going to tell you something. You say, preacher, why? Because I don't look forward to a day to have to come by Brother Ralph and that man laying in a 6 or 7 foot box knowing that he's frying in hell without God. You say, preacher, he's got plenty of time. None of us have plenty of time. None of us have a promise of another hour, another minute. None of us. May God help us tonight to be persistent in our faith, to be prayerful in our faith. I remember I hadn't been saved long, and when you get saved, I think you just want to tell it. You just want to tell people, and you really, what you want is them to have the same thing you have. And my brother come by, my brother Chris. And Chris and I, all of our lives, we had just fought like cats and dogs. I'm just being honest with you. I had a brother, we never had a word hardly, and had another brother, and we didn't have anything but words. And sometimes fists. One time we was fighting, and my dad, he was so aggravated with us, we both had long hair. That's a great disadvantage when daddy gets aggravated with two boys. That give him plenty to grab a hold of. He said, boys, if you're going to do it right. And he brought our noses together. Bam, just like that. Bam, again. He said, now if you're going to fight, do it right. Of course, we didn't want to fight after that for some reason. But I was telling my brother what Jesus done for him and trying to witness to him. And my brother started clenching his fist. And he's got these veins in his neck. And them veins, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Brother Sam? And there's a redness that begins to just come up this way. And I stopped. I said, brother, I'm not going to say another word. I said, but you do need to know something. I said, if you knock my head plumb off my shoulders, I said, I'll never raise my hand to hit you again. You're my brother, and I love you, and I want you to be saved. You say, preacher, why did you tell that? Because it didn't happen next month. It didn't happen next year. It didn't happen in that decade. I believe it was 18 years, if I calculated it right. My brother called me on a Tuesday night, said, Rick, Jesus saved me. I got the cards out, Brother Steve, when I went up to see him the last time. We had just started this. I mean, just literally days. I said, brother, I'd like for you to look at this. He said, I done looked at it. Because Jesus can make a difference. How many's glad somebody was persistent in prayer when we were lost? Didn't give up on God. Didn't give up on us. Amen. So the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for is praying faith.
It's persistent faith, but then it's a powerful faith. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse number 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Can I say something without being critical? I don't believe there's much crying day and night going on in our generation. How many knows what I just said? I'm asking God to increase our faith, to increase our burden. The Bible said, if I were to ask this question, how many would say God's been good to you and your family? Okay. How many would say God's been good to our church, the Bible Way Baptist Church? God has just been good to us. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. To whom much is given. Help me. Much is required. I believe that the Lord has the power to save sinners. I believe he has the power to meet needs. I believe he has the power, all power in heaven and in earth. The Lord's hand is not slack. His arm is not short. There's a text over in the book of Psalms. I don't know if I could find it. It might be Psalm 78. I don't know why that number just rang a bell. Let me look and see if it is real quick. Psalm 78, it might be 72. Let's see here. Might not be either one. Yeah, it is. It's Psalm 78. Verse number 39. Let's back up to verse number 38. Okay. Let's back up to verse 37. The Bible said, for their heart was not right with him. How many believes if we're not praying right, that our heart's not right with him? If we're not believing when we pray, how many believes our heart is not right with him? The Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The Bible said, without faith it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's look here together. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. In other words, they weren't persistent. But he, watch this, being full of compassion, this is going to lead us right into the invitation. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. How many believes if we would get on our face tonight and say, God, I ain't believed you. My paper ain't even got a sentence on it. Ain't even got two items on it. How many believe we'd fall on our face and say, God, would you forgive us for our generalities, for saying a little prayer over our meal a couple, three times a day and not spending time with you in prayer and believing God to do something in our families, in our churches, in our country? The Bible said that he, being full of compassion, he forgave their iniquity and he destroyed them not many a time. That almost sounds like Southwest Virginia language. Many a time. The Word of God said, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. How many say tonight we can be glad he hasn't stirred up all of his wrath? Watch this. For he remembered that they were but flesh, and a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Watch this. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? How many of you all tonight believe when we're not praying in faith and persistent in faith and we're not seeing God's power worked out in faith that it grieves the heart of God? Watch what the Bible said. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, They turned back and tempted God. Now, this is the statement that I was after. And limited the Holy One of Israel. I want to ask you something tonight. Is your prayer loose turning them loose? Is your prayer life turning the Lord loose? Or is your prayer life limiting the Holy One of Israel? Collectively, I'm praying that we'll go home and we'll get us a pencil and piece of paper. I started to ask you to do it tonight, but I'm praying that we'll go home and get us a pencil and a piece of paper, and we'll say, God, I want the Holy Spirit to lead me. What that I can put down here on this piece of paper and believe you to do? Charity and Bob could write Olivia. Lord, I'm going to start right now because I know the devil's on her trail. I know the world's on her trail. I know there's some boy out there that don't have her best interest at heart. Help me tonight. Lord, I'm going to start praying for my baby. God, I want you to direct her steps. I'm going to believe you, God, that one day I'll see her saved by the grace of God. You say, preacher, you've lost it. No, I believe we found it. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh. Now, I tell you what we do. We wait till they're on drugs and then we start praying for them. Somebody help me tonight. We wait till they've done married the wrong one. Somebody's giving them a black eye, and then we start praying for them. Or some sorry somebody that won't work a job and support their family. Then we start praying for them. Too late! I don't know about you tonight, but this is getting through to preacher. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? We could write right at the top of that, Brother Preston. Lord, when you come, whether you come for me in the clouds or whether you come for me and I go to be with you, be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. Lord, I want you to find faith in my heart and in my life. I'm talking about praying faith. Listen to me, and I'm not being mean tonight, but I'm going to tell you where the average Baptist church and the average Baptist is. We're satisfied with saving faith. We get saved. We're not going to hell. And Brother Grizzle, you're nodding your head up and down, and we just sit down, and we're satisfied. That's not the plan of God. Saving faith is not the end. That was the beginning of something wonderful that God wants to do in our hearts and lives. How many could say right now, preacher, God's already challenged me. Get my piece of paper. Get my pencil. Get my prayer closet. Brother Aaron, you got four of them babies. One of my grandpa's prayer requests that he believed God for was to call one of his boys to preach. He told me, Brother Sam, when God called me to preach, I mean, my grandpa was so tickled. I mean, he was tickled. He said, son, I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and I've begged God to call one of my boys to preach, and he never did. But he said he got my grandson, and it's just as good. That's what he said. Seeing them were compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I don't know if it was the title of a sermon or the title of a book. But listen to me carefully tonight. Somewhere in my past, I was introduced to this title, The Atheism of prayerlessness. How many believe that title makes sense? The atheism of prayerlessness. In other words, when we're not praying, we're not believing. And when we're not believing, we're just acting like an atheist that don't even believe there is a God. Tonight, I believe that if you and I would come in this altar tonight and say, Lord, now listen to me. I think this is where we are tonight. Well, Lord, I can't say my heart's not right with God. Do you realize what that would take for me to say something like that? But if you and I aren't praying in faith, if we're not persistent in faith, if we're not seeing God's answers in power in faith, you can say whatever you want to, but our heart ain't right with God. It's quiet. But somebody tell me what God would do if we crawl in this altar tonight and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for being so general in my prayer life and for being so quick to get in and get out so I can get on with my life. Somewhere back there in the past, I read about a preacher. I believe that preacher spent like 3 hours in prayer every morning. And somebody told him, said, I can't afford to pray that long. That preacher said, I can't afford not to. Boy, what if God brought this pastor to a place where he could spend 3 hours with God every morning? Y'all might get 6 hours with pastor every Sunday. Praying in faith. How many knows what the term prayer warrior means? How many knows what that means? You don't hear it much anymore, do you? Somebody help me tonight. Miss Eve, when I say that, did you think of a lady? When I say prayer warrior, did you think of a lady? I did. Who? Okay, you thought of a lady at Landmark. I was thinking of a lady at Liberty. Her first name was Nancy. And I learned something about Nancy. Sometimes my heart would get heavy, Brother David, and I'd have a heavy burden on me, and they'd be just filing out the door back there, you know, just Sunday morning service is over, and I'd say, Sister Nancy, I need you to help me pray about. And you know what she'd do? She didn't have no more sense. She'd bow her head right there in the vestibule, everybody looking, and just fixing to go into the throne room of God. She was afraid she might not get to the car. So she just wanted to go ahead and pray right then, right there. There was an urgency. There was a persistence. There was a belief that God would answer her prayer. And I believe we need that back. Somebody help me tonight, please. We need that back. Brother Aaron, you're a young preacher. Brother Steve, preacher. Amen. Brother Kevin's a young preacher. Brother Coulter's a young preacher. I feel an obligation, Brother Steve, you and I both should, to set that example for them. To pray, to believe God. And when we mess up, just get on our face. Listen, this is what I love about what I just read in Psalm. You know what we would find him tonight? We wouldn't find him with a board. We wouldn't find him with a stick. Am I right? What will we find? Compassion. The Word of God said he's full of compassion. The Word of God said he already knows that we're but flesh. He already knows our weakness. We can't hide anything from him. So I ask you tonight, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Now watch this now. That's a generality. Let's ask it like this. When the Son of Man cometh, Brother Eddie, will he find faith in our church? That's getting closer to home.
Let's get it down to a little bit narrower than that. When the Son of Man cometh, Brother Gary Tobyfill, will he find faith in our home? Pray in faith, persistent faith, powerful faith. Now let's get it on down a little bit closer, and this is really where we're going to get help. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith in my heart? Will he find me? Because after all, I can lead our home. At least I thought I could. The other day at the revival, there's three big office chairs over there on the back seat. I told Miss Eve, I said, there ain't nobody sitting in them chairs when this meeting starts. I'm getting one. No, you're not. Yes, I am. I said, you can sit in a steel chair alongside it. Honey, she went plumb over yonder. I told Brother Danny about it, my pastor over at Oak Glen. I said, Brother Danny, tell her to come over and sit in that. He said, the Bible said for a woman to submit to her own husband. Sister Cindy, she still didn't submit. What in the world is the use for a man with a bad back, Brother Brian, to sit in a steel chair when God, the God of heaven, put him a big office chair? I did have to adjust the spring. Whoever sat in it before, first time I leaned back, I thought I'd, like you, I thought I'd go all the way back. I'd get out and screw that little spring down underneath there, tighten it up a little bit. But when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? I want him to, don't you? How many believes we could have a bigger impact on Bloomingdale if we were praying in faith? Believe in God, a bigger impact on the job, a bigger impact in the colleges, a bigger impact. I found out something reading that book that, anybody else get the book yet? You got it? Have you read any of it? That foreword there by Brother Sexton, I found out that Harvard was founded really to train Christian workers. And now they don't even want you to name Jesus. Say amen. And if there's some in this country, listen to me carefully, if they had their way, the whole country would go that way. Amen. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? How many's glad you come tonight?